Welcome, everybody. It's Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. We are absolutely amped. Welcome in. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. We are reacting to day two of the NFL draft, which, by the way, is still going on right now. But the Eagles have made their picks at 53 and 57. They did not move up the board. They did not move down. And wow, there's so much to get into. So just to start,
yeah, wow is right.
Yeah, just before we even get into the specific picks, just about how the board has fallen, I don't think I've had more fun during a draft day than honestly today. We said it yesterday during the live show. Even though yesterday was extremely fun the way that board fell in the first round, mm-hmm. we were so excited about the talent today. And the Eagles come away with Miles Sanders at the Penn State running back that...
You got your boy, bro.
The consensus RB2 really throughout the hype season. They finally answer my prayers and get that all-around running back I've been praying for. And then they come right back around and say, all right, now how do we make Gino Camilleri happen? How do we make Gino Camilleri happy? How do we make this happen for him? They come back around. They get Gino's my guy. And it's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Stanford right in front of your other my guy, or right behind your other my guy, Mecole Hardman. So...
And then Nasir Adderley, dude, right in the right where we thought they were going to go. Besides Nasir, I thought he'd go a little earlier, but still, like, that's right where we – what did we say on Twitter today? I said, where do we think Mecole is going to go? And you said in the second round, you hit it right on the head. That was a beautiful pick by you. And our Sega Whiteside, man, and then Nasir a couple picks later. Your boy Paris Campbell, too, like, I think we know what we were talking about, Lou. These teams got some good picks, the last couple picks. And the Eagles, J.J. Sega Whiteside. How are you going to defend this team in the red zone? Like, please tell me that.
I'll tell you, I have never, and they're just going all offense. Like, this is all about building around Carson Wentz now. You get him the best pass-blocking left tackle in the draft in Andre Dillard. You come back around. You get that all-around running back that now, to me, look, I know they do a committee-like approach. They brought in Jordan Howard. They have Corey Clement coming back. That, to me, is not going to last for long. I think Miles Sanders is going to be too good to keep off the field as a three-down back, and it's going to make them less predictable at that position, and I think they're going to be so much better off for it. He's a guy that tested so much better than people gave him or they thought he was going to, running in the low 4.5s, was underutilized as a receiver at Penn State. Mm-hmm. This whole running back class has a tremendous ability to make defenders miss on the second and third level. Miles Sanders, another guy that was top six in forced missed tackles last year of all FBS running backs. So you get that guy to add to Carson Wentz, who already has Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, and Nelson Agholor. And now you give him Miles Sanders, and you come back around with the best receiver when it comes to contested catches. He had more contested catches, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, than any receiver in the class. And
yes,
he was the best receiver in college football last year when it came to third and fourth down conversions. He was so reliable. I mean, you add those two things to what already is a loaded five-deep passing attack. Gino, I'm going to say it right now, and I don't think it's a hot take, the 2019 Philadelphia Eagles are the most talented offensive unit I have ever seen in Eagles history. Counting offensive line right now, too. Look, it was talented with Macklin and Deshaun and McCoy. It was talented with T.O. and McNabb and Westbrook. But the depth right now across the board is unbelievable. And the only surprise, really, with what the Eagles did was that DK Metcalf is sitting here on the board still, and what, two receivers went ahead of him yesterday in the first round, and then today, Deebo Samuel went ahead of him. We had A.J. Brown going to Tennessee, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside going to Philly, Paris Campbell going to Indy, I missed Mecole Hardman going to the Chiefs. Seven receivers have gone ahead of Metcalf. I mean, what's going on with that? This is Darius Geis 2.0. I can't explain it.
Yeah, that's a great analogy there, Lou. That is Darius Geis-like fall. This is unbelievable that the guy who many thought could be a top 10 selection is about to fall out of the second round. I can't believe it. But the good thing is those players that were selected in front of them are all very good players. I mean, Arcega-Whiteside is one of my favorite guys. You know that. You know how much I love Mecole Hardman. What was going on with Tyreek Hill basically forced them into having to trade up for that selection. The Rams go ahead and take Taylor Rapp. That is shocking. Some news came out about his hip flexor today saying that it was possibly injured, but they go ahead and take him. That's a good selection for them to replace who LaMarcus Joyner left, I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so getting back to the Eagles selection, I absolutely love it, Lou. What you needed to do to make this offense, make this team go, was solidify your defense. They did that in free agency. and give your offense weapons and protect Carson Wentz. And what did they do with the first three picks in the 2019 draft? You get the best pass protecting tackle in the entire class, maybe in the last couple drafts. Absolutely remarkable. Then you get a running back who is yet to even be utilized, had one really good season sitting and learning behind Saquon Barkley, one of the best backs in a generation. And then you go out and get J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who runs this style of offense to a T, coupled with Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Alshon Jeffrey, and for maybe Nelson Agholor. They are going to have so many weapons in the red zone. How many times are they going to get Dallas Goedert matched up on a linebacker? Like, they're going to have so many chess pieces to move around this offense. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like to try and game plan against this team going by week to week.
And yeah, you're right, man. Doug Peterson's going to have a field day with all the formations he can use with these tight ends and receivers. Because at this point,
I forgot DeSean Jackson, dude. Yeah, like, didn't even remember DeSean Jackson's on this team.
I mean, DeSean Jackson's back. So you have, though, I mean, Agholor's still here. I feel like this kind of is leaning towards the end of Agholor, even if it's not this year.
He's about to head out of town.
I mean, he's a player that, I mean, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's a guy that, I mean, people were comparing him. DJ, actually, NFL Network, just said, like, he can be your next Alshon Jeffrey. He can replace DeSean Jackson. So it's not completely over for Nelson. But, I mean, the writing's on the wall with DeSean's experience in the slot and Alshon's and the ability already to have two tight ends playing inside. And Miles Sanders is a guy that has the versatility at running back. You can move him around the formation like you did with Darren Sproles throughout the years, where I can see Miles Sanders taking that role too. So it's not looking good for Nelson Agholor in Philadelphia next year, but it's for me, a guy that really didn't want to trade Agholor. It's hard for me to find a problem with that at this point. Now, moving back maybe into the third or getting that extra fourth-round pick back that you moved to get up for Dillard by moving Agholor, because you have so much talent, and now you have this balance where you have these young guys that are going to be with Wentz for a long time in Sanders, in Goddard, and in Arcega-Whiteside, and you also have the proven three. So, right, you got the young trio, and you got the proven trio, and the proven trio with DeSean, Ertz, and Alshon, they are going all in on supplying Carson Wentz with what should be enough to get him the 2019 MVP.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's got everything he needs right now. He has a young stable of willing and able offensive tackles that are going to be molded behind Jeff Stoutland. You have two pretty good guards. You have one elite guard. I mean, I'm not going to put Brandon Brooks into Isaac Seumalo's category, but he's going to be coming back from injury, so that's up in the air right now. But you also have Jason Kelce. They have everything they need up front. You have Miles Sanders. That's your lightning. You have Jordan Howard. That's your thunder. You have Corey Clement. That's your changeup. And then I'm going to assume they're going to keep six wide receivers, Lou, if everything goes as planned, and try to stick with three running backs this season, because you still have Mac Hollins. You still have Shelton Gibson. I'm sure they're going to get a chance. I'm sure they have some undrafted guys they're going to bring in, and we still have three more or four more rounds, Lou. They could definitely add more weapons to this team. They are just Howie Roseman, Lou. How many times do we got to say it until he proves us wrong? He's going to just be the king in our eyes, because he's hit this draft out of the park, and I really think he put this team in a position to succeed in 2019, 2020, and beyond, as long as you can keep Carson Wentz healthy and you can give him weapons.
The NFL has made it easy for him, too, because you look at how this board fell 2 days in a row. It was really just corners and offensive linemen and positions the Eagles weren't going to take, right? I mean, when you look at the first two picks were corners, then you had Jaywan Taylor go, Greg Little off the board, Cody Ford, back-to-back corners with the Buccaneers in Oakland, then the Broncos take Dalton Reisner and Drew Locke, which, by the way, most people spoke that into existence. That was just such
an
obvious...
Yeah, not a 10, though.
Yeah, and then a bunch of linebackers go, like the guy from Hawaii, Tavall, from going to Detroit.
Very strange pick.
Back-to-back corners again with New England and Cleveland. Marquise Blair, I mean, it's again, this is the second round has been so crazy.
Hey, did you see Rosen just got traded to Miami?
Did he really?
Yeah, official. Official. And guess who they took with the pick?
Who was it?
Andy Isabella.
The Cardinals did?
Yeah. Kyler Murray and Andy Isabella.
Is Metcalf on steroids? I mean, that's what people keep tweeting at me. I mean, what? Andy Isabella went over DK Metcalf. I would have bet you like $300 that wasn't going to be the case.
I do not know what's happening, man. It's honestly crazy. This is a free fall for DK Metcalf.
There's always one, but I did not expect it to be this far.
Yeah, we thought Juwan Taylor was like, he was going to be the guy, and DK would come off the board early this day, but apparently not. We are two picks away. The Chiefs have a pick in right now, and then we have New England, and then we're in the third round. I mean, DK Metcalf might go in the third round of an NFL draft. Just think about that.
Yeah, look, there has to be something serious about that, because there is no way that guy, if there is just, if the concerns, what we heard over the offseason is what the concerns are here, mm-hmm. that is ludicrous that he's fallen this far. But, like, again, going back to the board, it was just a run on corners and offensive linemen, and the Eagles weren't going to take either position after addressing Dillard and all the corner depth they have. I wrote an article today on Locked On Eagles a couple hours before the draft, and I ranked 25 prospects because there was 25 picks from 33 to 57. And so there was going to be 25 players the Eagles were going to have to choose from, probably. And mm-hmm. of all of the players on the list I had, the only guy that got taken before the Eagles pick was Deebo Samuel. So the Eagles are sitting there. They could have added Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who, by the way, is still not off the board. There has been, what, five safeties taken ahead of him? Uh-huh. Rapp Adderley, Blair, which was a crazy one.
Unbelievable.
Abram and Savage. So here's Gardner-Johnson still on the board. The Eagles had the Juan opportunity. Thorne.
Thornhill just got taken by the Chiefs. Mentioned that. Spoke that one into existence.
So Thornhill falls, and he actually ends up going ahead of Gardner-Johnson. And there's all these guys that are available for the Eagles, and while I don't think people would have guessed after seeing all the people still on that list, I don't think mm-hmm. people would have guessed it to be Sanders and Arcega-Whiteside. I certainly would have. I probably would have bet Metcalf and Gardner-Johnson or some sort of combo of like a receiver and a safety or maybe Charles and Menihue. But at the same time, though, I can't complain. I think we're both pretty happy because you wanted Arcega-Whiteside. I really wanted that do-it-all running back. While I had a bunch of guys I was into, Miles Sanders was definitely someone that grew on me. And when Daniel Jeremiah likes a prospect, I definitely start to listen. And then going back to the tape and watching Sanders, it's going to be fun to see him and Saquon Barkley battle in the NFC East now. Sanders, a guy that a little tread on his tires, too, because like you said, he was learning behind Saquon. He only mm-hmm. has 276 carries total in his collegiate career, so he's coming in fresh.
Low tread.
They're going to keep
like
him.
Josh Jacobs with the low tread.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to keep him fresh in 2019 as well. And then, to me, I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes that clear RB1 after. I think he's going to fit in this offense perfect. I think both Arcega-Whiteside and Sanders are perfect fits.
Lou, I just want to go back, like, how many months when we first started this back in August. I can remember vividly that I mentioned that I wanted Carson Wentz to get a young receiver next to him that he could develop to be the guy. Come draft season, I remember there was one day I walked in the studio and I said to you, I'm falling in love with the idea of taking Arcega-Whiteside at 57. I can't believe that I spoke that into existence, and I know I said it on a podcast. We have to clip that because it is just unbelievable that we know this team so well, and like we understand what this team wants, how he wants big weapons that he can develop. Right now you have an offense that just needs a couple more weapons, and it's going to be, Lou, right now top three in the NFL on paper, no question.
Oh, I would say, like, the only advantage the Saints had over the Eagles, the Patriots, the Rams was that running back. And now the mm-hmm. Eagles have that, and they just doubled down on receivers this year by bringing in, you have that speed factor that you were so badly missing. Really, just in general, you have now these threats after they catch or run, they get the football to now make you pay with their athleticism with Sanders and Deshaun. And then mm-hmm. you just add another dude. I mean, you check the boxes with the Eagles. Anything you want, like in an offensive weapon, they have. You want the contested guys, right? The guys that can go up and get balls. You have Alshon Jeffrey, Ertz, Goddard, and Arcega-Whiteside now for that. You want the speed. You want the dynamic playmaking ability. You have Sanders. You have Deshaun Jackson. And you still have Nelson Agholor right now. I mean, it's a catalog of offensive weapons that Philadelphia has. I don't think anybody has. There's some people that maybe have more of the top-heavy talent, like the better 1-2 punch, but just down the line, the Eagles have like 7 or 8 guys right now that Carson Wentz can go to on top of what is one of the best offensive lines in the league. It is hard not to fall in love with this offense if you're even an NFL fan that's not an Eagles fan.
Like, let's just run down the line real quick. You have a quarterback who is a 2017 going to win the MVP if he didn't tear his ACL, which was unfortunate. Got them home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Pretty good player, I would say. You just bring in Jordan Howard, who three seasons in a row was one of the rushing leaders, like towards the top of the rushing charts. You bring in Miles Sanders, coupled with Corey Clement, who had an absolutely unbelievable Super Bowl, had a great rookie season, is going to look to improve this year. You have a collection of young backs that if you want to keep four, you can. Your tight ends, you have Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, who are both going to be perennial top five tight ends in the league, both going to be perennial all-pro and Pro Bowl players. Then you have Alshon Jeffrey. I can't even – Alshon Jeffrey, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, DeSean Jackson. It just seems surreal, Lou, that this team is in this good of a position that they were able to assess – this good of talent and bring the talent that they knew was going to win a championship into their doors via free agency, via the draft, via trade. It's just an absolute masterclass of being a general manager put on by Howie Roseman.
It's funny that they just went all offense too, because there's still a lot of defensive talent still available on the board. But I mean, again, this is just how the draft goes, guys. I mean, how many people thought Blair was going to go ahead of Gardner Johnson, right? How many people thought there was just going to be all these corners taken in the first round or the second round? Who thought DK Metcalf and, by the way, Hakeem Butler is
DK
still
just went to Seattle, just so you know. They traded up to 64 with the Patriots and took DK.
Okay, so Seattle just did it, huh?
Yep.
Wow,
that's a scary thought.
DK Russell Wilson to DK Metcalf. I really want to know. I want to know what the story was that Andy Isabella went ahead of DK. I mean, and by the way, Gino,
dude,
like I just mentioned it.
Actually,
Butler.
You want to hear something funny about Andy Isabella? Yeah. I was listening to Eric Gelko. He's a pretty informative guy on the internet on Twitter. He let me see what his Twitter handle is. I'll give him a shout out. But he had a Twitter live today, and he was saying that he heard that it is at Eric Gelko, E-R-I-C-G-A-L-K-O. He's from Optimum Scouting. That's right. But he said that the Colts were actually intrigued with taking Isabella at 34. So
Wow. The
talk about the hype for Darnell Savage. Isabella was right up there with them. That's crazy that teams would even consider that. But yeah, like you said, in what world did we ever think Andy Isabella would be taken in the second round ahead of DK Metcalf?
Yeah, I would have never predicted. I mean, Mecole Hardman, Andy Isabella, and man, I don't know what's happening with Hakeem Butler, too. He was my wide receiver two on the board, so my wide receiver one and wide receiver two.
Same with Harmon.
Yeah, I mean, they've plummeted. Kelvin Harmon, too, still on the board. But at the same time, like, I am happy with Arcega-Whiteside. You just see the first thing that popped out for me was the strong hands, like the box out ability where he just plays basketball in the red zone. Like if you're a corner and you get caught behind Arcega-Whiteside, it's game over. This is a more athletic, a more explosive version, a lengthier, bigger Anquan Boldin, right? Where he just has, I could see him in double coverage,
yeah,
just swatting at his hands, and he's still going to go and grab that ball. That's the one thing people maybe were concerned about was testing. And what he run in the 4.4s?
There were some scouts that he was saying that tagged him at a 4.38.
That unbelievable that he almost, so he might be under 4.4 when it comes to speed, and that's not even his like main like aspect of why people want him, why the Eagles probably took him in the second round.
He knows how to utilize his strength. Like, I guarantee you're going to hear at least three times a game next season that he was a basketball player, because he knows how to utilize his body and play with leverage better than most receivers. I would give him a great on that scale, like, which is a 6 out of 7 if I'm grading on a scouting scale, because the guy just can get open and his arm. Look at his wingspan. Like, the guy could dunk a basketball sitting in a chair. Like, he's going to go up and get the ball, and he creates separation. I saw one take on Twitter that said he can't create separation, which is absolutely crazy to me because I'm an Oregon Ducks fan, and the guy separated behind every single cornerback that we had for 200-some-plus yards and led a second-half comeback to beat the Oregon Ducks. Not going to bring up any bad memories for me, but he can make it up and come into the league and absolutely wreak havoc against guys like DeAndre Baker and Josh Norman, because he is going to get on your back hip. He's a long strider. Once he gets into his stride and hits that second level in those 15 to 20 yard areas, he's going to separate from you, because those short, like, what's a 5'11 corner going to do against Arcega-Whiteside if Carson Wentz just puts an absolute gem back shoulder?
And Wentz has, you see, I mean, when he is healthy, he can click on those throws with Alshon and Ertz and now Arcega-Whiteside.
Oh, 100%. And now that he's going to be healthy and he trusts his mechanics more, you're going to see that more. And I don't want to hear that he didn't throw to Alshon and didn't throw him open, because he absolutely did. And he did that in his MVP-esque season. And he's going to continue to do that with receivers that are going to create separation. Nelson Agholor, why do you think they want to get him out of town? Because he can't create separation. As much as we think he can, Lou, he's not the guy that he was drafted at, what, 19th overall by Chip Kelly to be when they brought him in here?
Yeah, no, I mean, he is someone that has gotten open a lot through scheme. I mean, he is still only 25, but you are right, yeah.
Like, we talk about, like, Nick Foles versus Carson Wentz as a quarterback that's going to elevate the system. Is Nelson Agholor going to go out there and win you a game? In the scouting community, Dan Hatman of Scouting Academy always said, like, can you win with this player? Can you win in spite of this player? And can this player get you a win, basically?
Well, I mean, he did, though, too, in fairness to Agholor. I mean, like, the guy had 9 receptions in the Super Bowl, so he does come up in games.
Understandable, but you also had Alshon Jeffrey. Like, Alshon Jeffrey was that guy. Like, you won because of Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh, right, yeah. He's never going to be your wide receiver one that you depend on, yeah.
And I think Arcega Whiteside can develop to be that, Lou, because you talk about a guy, he's 6'6". Even when he starts to slow down in, like, 5 to 7 years, he still can utilize his frame, utilize his big wingspan, utilize his basketball background to create separation, much like Alshon Jeffrey has evolved to do. What better player to be behind and learn behind than the best man-beating wide receiver on the team in Alshon Jeffrey, who's one of the top 15 in the league, I would say. Him and Alshon are going to be, like, best friends, I feel. They're the same exact player. Like, they play the same exact way. They're going to both get open. If these guys are more than less, like, they're not selfish players. Like, Alshon is not selfish at all. None of them are going to be 1,000-yard receivers, but they're both going to be 800-yard receivers with, like, 8 or 9 touchdowns each, realistically.
Yeah, look, and I think this definitely, we go back to Agholor. Ben Albright talked about it. Ian Rappaport talked about it. Teams think he is available now, and this pick of Arcega Whiteside in the second round does reflect that thought could most likely be true. So, hey, I wouldn't be surprised tomorrow or even later today if a deal like that happened where we still see another pick happening for the Eagles. But right now, I mean, yeah, with Arcega Whiteside, I mean, Alshon, a great man-beating receiver. So is Zach Ertz. I mean, Zach Ertz is one of the best targets in football at getting open through technique, through route running, through understanding of leverage, and Arcega Whiteside's already so developed in that area that learning from those two guys, even if they keep Agholor for one more year and Arcega Whiteside comes in certain packages, he isn't what I think AJ Brown would have been, or a couple of certain receivers that would have just been slot dependent in Philadelphia, even like Agholor is. I think Arcega Whiteside's a guy that can replace Agholor right now, but Arcega Whiteside can also, like you said, I mean, you could have Alshon hypothetically on the outside and Arcega Whiteside in a couple years, depending on how DeSean Jackson ages over the next couple years. But I'm excited because they added that kind of player, and again, you get that dynamic threat I've been dying for at running back. Because just I'm so
happy. Oh yeah, we haven't even talked about Miles Sanders, yeah, dude. We've just been talking about Arcega Whiteside the whole time.
I'm so happy we don't have to see Wendell Smallwood get lead carries anymore, man.
Can I make just one last point on Arcega Whiteside, yeah, then we absolutely can move to Miles Sanders? I just want to say it before I forget. But the thing that I think Arcega Whiteside provides you over a Nelson Agholor is that I trust Arcega Whiteside both in the slot and on the outside. Like, when we move Agholor to the outside, as much as you want to believe, the statistics say that he does not provide as much as he does inside that he does outside. Arcega Whiteside in the slot, he's going to be matched up against 5'10", 5'11", cornerbacks that he's going to be able to create separation against and win those one-on-one battles, and then also move outside where he can use his sprinting background, use those long strides to get on the back hip of corners. He just offers more to, in my opinion, than Nelson Agholor does right now. And going back to Eric Galco for a second, he also said that he heard that Nelson Agholor could be had for as little as a day 3 pick right now.
Yeah, and I wouldn't doubt it at this point, because it's not like the Eagles have a whole lot of leverage with him being a free agent next year and the fact that they just drafted Arcega Whiteside and traded for DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. And, you have to get more picks here, Lou. Like, the one thing that scared me is that not trading out of that 57th pick, which I am very happy. I tweeted before they did that they should have, but I'm very happy that they didn't trade out of it. They need more picks. They only have, what, two more picks coming up?
Yeah, they have one more fourth, and they have, what, a fifth?
Yeah, you got to be looking to move Big V, and you got to be looking to move Nelson Agholor, and maybe even a selection next year. Oh, wow. Steelers select Deontay Johnson, the wide receiver out of Toledo. Talk about another guy that rose up charts. Goodness gracious. He went ahead of DK Metcalf. Oh, no, DK Metcalf went. My bad.
Well, he went ahead of Hakeem Butler and Kelvin Harmon.
Hakeem Butler, yeah, I apologize. I meant
to say
Hakeem.
And Emmanuel Hall, by the way, is still on the board.
Yeah, talk about another name that we're missing out on.
So, man, this second round has not gone. There was so much chaos just in like a 5-minute span. Jim Brown thinks we're picking in 2013. Did you see that? I mean, that was hilarious.
Yeah,
so
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown's been coasting for 6 years. And then a couple minutes later, Seattle's about to make their pick, and Cody Ford comes out on the stage, even though the Bills had already made that pick like 20 minutes, a half hour before. And I'm just sitting there like, seeing the way the boards fall and seeing all this chaos, I'm like, I've never seen a day two with so much activity and just so much entertainment. And that all started for the Eagles with that first pick of Miles Sanders, and I talked about it before. We did talk about Sanders a little bit, how he is coming off a fresh college career where he did not get hammered into the ground because he was behind Saquon Barkley, took over last year, and is a player that he's not going to get loaded up with touches even this year, but he has that potential to me to finally be that. While Jay Ajayi was the clear lead back, it was still in a committee-like approach, and I know the Eagles really like to do that, but them taking a running back in the second round is telling that they're not like committed to that philosophy, and they're not committed to the philosophy of, no matter what, we're not going to take a running back with a high pick. We're not going to invest. I thought that narrative really was false to begin with. A lot of people like to say that, but me and you kept mentioning it. McCaffrey would have been the pick in the first round in 2017 if he was there. They would have took Dalvin Cook in the second round instead of Sidney Jones, and they do take it here. So the people that said no matter what, running back wasn't going to be something that they value highly, or a lot of people just say the position doesn't matter at all. And I think once you see what Miles Sanders does for this Eagles offense, I think they're going to change their opinions on that. I mean, this is a player we mentioned with Arcega Whiteside, how he can win in so many different ways. Sanders can do that too, and it's in a way that the Eagles, outside of really DeSean Jackson, they're not going to have it if they lose Agholor. And it's that dynamic ability after the ball is already in their hands. He had 38 10-plus yard runs last year, 47 missed tackles forced, that was tied for eighth in the country. Yards after contact, 845. He averaged 3.8 yards after contact. I mean, this dude can cut on a dime. It is impossible to get your hands on him. And he ran faster, much like Arcega Whiteside. He was in the low 4.5s, late 4.4s. He ran faster than people thought.
Dude, Jalen Hurd just went ahead of Hakeem Butler as well.
Wow, that's incredible. The run on receivers, on crazy receivers, continues.
Yeah, but getting back to Miles Sanders, man, like, he just gives you something that this offense didn't have, and we talked about Daryl Henderson potentially being that guy. I feel like there's a lot of similarities in their game. They're both very good pass-catching backs. Miles Sanders has that breakaway speed to get to the second level, Lou, and he's got fresh legs. I think that's huge, because there was talks of David Montgomery, a guy that ran the ball nearly, oh my goodness, Jakai Polite to the Jets. They got an edge rusher.
Polite goes finally.
There you go. Third round. That's quite a fall too. But yeah, you got your guy, Lou. I got my guy. I think we're both happy. I think Carson Wentz he's got to be pleased after these first three picks. And so does everybody in the Eagles organization. I know Joe Douglas and his staff probably has to be giving themselves a pat on the back, because this has truly been going great for them so far. Thanks to the NFL for allowing a lot of these guys to continue to fall to the Eagles. It's great, Lou. We talk about the disparity in teams picking guys like the kid out of Hawaii in the second round. Like, why is that happening when guys like Charles Omenihue and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Nasir Adderley are still on the board? It doesn't make much sense to me. And I think the Eagles still have a chance to get some value in this draft. And I think you have to look to move Agholor. I think you have to look to move Big V right now. And potentially move some picks for next year because there is so much talent left sitting on that board. I'm still looking at my board right now, Lou, and just the names that are there. You can just – there's a whole gamut of them. There's still guys that I mentioned the Eagles could pick at 53 that are still on the board. It's truly crazy, not how we thought this was going to go at all.
I feel vindicated, too, that they took Miles Sanders because I fought for this for a long time. I've really just been – since 2016, the one thing Carson Wentz is – and it's incredible that he's been as good as he has been without the – threat of a running back. I mean, you see what Todd Gurley's been able to do for Jared Goff. You see the step the Saints offense has taken since they had that combo of Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. Having that guy can do wonders for you, and Carson Wentz still developed into that elite quarterback prospect even without that. He had to deal with Ryan Matthews in 2016. Then in 2017, it was LeGarrette Blount, you know, catching fire every now and then, but it was really just him and Smallwood, because Sproles got hurt. He didn't really benefit from, he only got to play with that trio of Ajayi, LeGarrette, and Corey for a little bit, and then he went down. It really was when Foles got going that running back trio took over, and those guys combined for almost 300 yards from scrimmage in the Super Bowl. It's a position that matters. While you can get them in a plethora of different ways, multiple ways you can find a running back, that doesn't mean just because there's a wide variety of ways to add talent there without spending money or big picks doesn't mean the position doesn't create value for your offense. And when you have that kind of player that can be a great pass blocker too and take advantage of an offensive line that's creating so much for you, and when there's a 5-yard hole, Sanders now has that ability, oh, I'm one-on-one here with this linebacker, I'm going to make this cut. You think I'm going left, I'm turning up right, and I'm making this now a 20-yard run. And Wendell Smallwood, I'm sorry, like, I mean, Josh Adams, too, he did it a little bit in the middle of the season last year. Those guys don't have that ability that Sanders has. He's going to have – there's going to be so much less meat on the bones now with Sanders at running back.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited, and you're going to have so many options for Wentz, and you're going to have somebody that they can rely on, because what was the downfall last year, Lou? They couldn't rely on anybody late in games.
Well, the Saints game. I mean, the playoff game when Foles was struggling after they were up 14-0, they had to just keep throwing the ball because
what are you going to do?
Yeah, what is Wendell Smallwood going to run you out of that hole? No, and the Eagles like to, a lot of the time, close out games with that running game. You saw it against the Giants this year. That offensive line was like, you know what, screw this. We're just going to dominate here with 5 minutes left. You're not getting the ball back. We are running this thing all the way down the field and into the end zone. And I feel like although a lot of it had to do with the defense, man, you talk about that Titans game, you talk about that Panthers game. If you have a Miles Sanders in that football game, maybe it's a different story.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, think back to that Wendell Smallwood play that everybody says he was wide open. Yeah, you know, he was open, but Carson Wentz couldn't rely on him. He never gave him a reason to. He didn't prove it in his time since they drafted him a few years back. Miles Sanders, a second-round pick, they're going to give him all the trust in the world. They're going to let him be a reliable guy. He's going to be a fan favorite, Lou, coming from Penn State over to Philadelphia. The link is going to absolutely pop the first time his name is called there.
Yeah, there's, dude, I keep getting giddy thinking about, like, what Carson Wentz has to work with right now. There is no excuse for him not to put up 40-plus passing touchdowns, over 4,000 passing yards. I mean, as long as this offense can stay healthy, and already with a defense that, I mean, you talk about, they added Malik Jackson and Tim Jernigan, and they maintained almost all their talent. They're getting McLeod back. They have almost too many corners at this point. I would have liked to see, I mean, I would have been cool with Adderley. I would have been cool with Gardner Johnson, who, by the way, is still on the clock as we start the third round here.
Man.
So I'm really kind of perplexed about that one, dumbfounded, really. So I would have been cool with that. I would have been cool with another edge rusher. I mean, or a versatile guy like a Charles Amenihue. I would have been cool with.
He's still on the board, too.
Yeah, Amenihue's there. Christian Miller is still available from Alabama. Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, maybe. Let's really try to force it an Aguilar trade. If we can give them I would love to find a way to get back into today because there
Dude,
is
I know.
Some good
There's
talent,
so many guys in there. I really I think they have to be cooking something up. Howie's got to be chomping at the bit right now.
Well, are you concerned they didn't go defense at all?
Not really. I mean, you still have two more picks, but I think you have to get back up into this round because, like you said, Lou, who is still on the board interior-wise? Like, guys like Kalen Saunders are still there. Amenikew. Guys like Renelle Wren. Daniel Wise. Tristan Hill came off the board, but Draymond Jones is still there. There's still so many guys that can make an impact on this team. Yes, we can wait, but who knows if guys are going to be there. We talk about this being a historic defensive line. Class, which Howie Roseman said himself, he has to be wanting to get back up into day two.
Jalen Ferguson still available, DeAndre Walker, Chase Winovich, O'Shane
Ximenes, edge rushers. Max Crosby. Love Max Crosby.
My guy Joe Jackson from the U is still available. So that's all the edge rushers still on the board. Defensive tackles, Draymond Jones, your boy Kalen Saunders, Armand Watts. Daylon Mack, Isaiah Bugs, they're, man, if the Eagles can find a way to get back into today, even if not, I mean, this board, again, has fallen. I've never seen it fall this way. It wasn't like,
it's crazy.
Let's go back to, 2014, right? The board just did not fall the way we thought. You really wanted Brandon Cooks. I was hoping for something like that as well, and they ended up, settling for Marcus Smith. And then, so there's certain times last year, too, the board just, it was pretty underwhelming. Yesterday, it fell the way where me, you, and Lars were dumbfounded. We're like, okay, this could be, we thought maybe Metcalf at the time. We thought it could be Jacobs. We thought it could be Dillard or Juwan Taylor.
Right.
There, Montez Sweat was still available. And then today, again, I just was sitting there on the couch watching the draft and laughing to myself. I'm like, man, it's just positions that the Eagles aren't going to take. Tight ends, corners, offensive linemen, and here they are. They could have whatever they wanted, and they decided, hey, we are true to our word about investing in Carson Wentz, and we're not going to skimp on talent for him. And I respect the hell out of that because there are so many teams that I feel like do go cheap. I mean, look at a team like,
sure.
I would hate to, I think Marcus Mariota should envy Carson Wentz, right? Where he's sitting there with, I mean, what? Corey Davis and an old Delanie Walker. This is the way to max out your young quarterback, especially when he's on that cheap contract still, because there's a lot of teams. I mean, look what Josh Rosen had to deal with last year. Look what Josh Allen had to deal with. Lamar Jackson had to throw to Willie Snead and Michael Crabtree. Baltimore smartened up and took Hollywood Brown. So I do actually – I'm not overly concerned because of how loaded the defense still is. And with all the picks you're going to have next year too, I kind of do like the idea of them going offense because they've – I don't know, for the most part, wouldn't you agree, they've gone mostly defense for the past few years.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think you're solid at the edge right now. I still think they can look to take one if one continues to fall. Like, if Christian Miller starts to fall, then I'd be looking into a trade-up situation. If he starts to sit around like 80, 85-ish, because what are they at right now? They're round 4, 136 they're picking. That's quite a jump. I don't know if they have all that, but I still think there's opportunities to get impact players on day two. But I'm a little disappointed they didn't have as much draft capital in this class because there are so many players, Lou, that we still that we love that are still on the board that we think could make an impact at safeties. We still think there are some linebackers like Blake Cashman that could make an impact. There's defensive line. We could even take another running back if you want to take a double dip there or another receiver. Who even knows? With the way that Howie Roseman has drafted Darrell Henderson to the Rams.
Oh, wow. Darrell Henderson just got Wait, what? Really?
To the Rams.
Why is that? Maybe they really are committed to going with that 1-2 like they did with Anderson and Gurley last
year.
That's an unreal 1-2 punch.
What a selection.
Todd Gurley and Daryl. I mean, that kills kind of people wanting to see Daryl Henderson play a lot, though, I'm sure. That's a crazy pick, too. I mean, wow. Okay, so Daryl Henderson going to the Rams. But this also, to a couple guys... especially for the fans, because I'm happy for the fans that aren't as into the draft, because yesterday with the offensive line, I wrote an article for 97.3 ESPN, kind of like using five stats to really get you more excited about the Andre Dillard pick. Because while offensive line, like, it's the meat and potatoes of the meal, right? You know you have to have it, but no matter what you do, the reaction for offensive linemen, unless you're nerds like me and Gino, is always okay. Like, yeah, All right, yeah, we had to have that. Offensive line, very important. Everybody tells us that, so we have it. But it isn't the sexy pick. So someone actually today I asked, what are you looking for today? And one of the listeners responded, someone with a really fun highlight reel to watch. So, and I think they got two of those
got
guys
one.
Today.
I just tweeted out, if you want to see just a taste of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, like I said earlier in the show, go watch the game against Oregon because he just absolutely ripped it up. And a guy that can go in there and at any moment, who also was 42% of their overall receiving yards last year. Think about that. Nearly 50% of the receiving yards went through J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So you talk about a guy that can be the guy. It's J-Jaw, baby. Get on board. I'm 100% getting an Arcega-Whiteside jersey once they're printed.
I'm happy for you, dude, because this was one of your big my guys, and it hasn't happened 100%. A lot of the time where that guy actually goes to the Eagles, so I'm definitely happy for you. I wonder what number he'll wear.
Same to you, man. Miles Sanders. That, yeah, you were shouting from the rooftops for him, so we both got a guy that's going to make both of you and I happy and Carson Wentz happy.
100%, man. So the Eagles draft Miles Sanders, running back from Penn State. Then just a couple picks later, that was fun having two second-round picks. It's been a while since
I liked that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, especially with all the players still available. You're like, all right, we got Miles Sanders. Look at all these receivers available. Look at all these safeties. Hell, we might get another one of the my guys for me and you with a Menihu. They end up going with your boy, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and I think Eagles fans should be really happy with this draft so far. And I think the biggest winner, when we do winners and losers next week of this NFL draft, like, number one's got to be Carson Wentz. So,
he's got to be loving life right now.
Howie Roseman even said it at his press conference. Like, they stayed patient. They let the board come to them. And damn, was it a great board for them to work with.
Damn right, dude. We just kept saying, I couldn't tweet it enough. I just said I couldn't believe how the board was falling between yesterday and today, Lou. You come out of that first round with a top 10 talent at offensive tackle. You basically solidify that you're going to go pass heavy with bringing in a very good pass catching running back and a very, very good receiver that Carson Wentz is going to be able to mold with. And you solidified the identity of your team. You are going to pass the ball down teams' throats. You are going to create mismatches with linebackers on guys like Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. You're going to line up Miles Sanders in the slot. Hey, even if Darren Sproles, I'm kind of open to the idea of him coming back and just for all the mismatches that you can have with Miles Sanders and Darren Sproles, and you toss Jordan Howard in there with a Darren Sproles, or you toss Jordan Howard with Miles Sanders. The opportunities are endless with what this Eagles team has. I think you said it, Lou. This might be the greatest accumulation of offensive talent that this Eagles organization has seen in quite some time.
Well, because let's just count it up here. I mean, I love that Howie prioritizes the trenches. I do. It's the way to build a roster. He wants a high-end quarterback, and he wants great line play on both sides. But also, I'm just glad to know that we can trust Howie is not someone that's going to say, we're gonna develop DGB, right? We're committed to Dorial Green Beckham taking that next step in Josh Huff. He said, no, we're going to go add that talent. So I'm glad, too, to know that he does prioritize having good skill positions. And let's just go down the line. I mean, let's just count it up. Alshon, Ertz, Goddard, Deshaun, right now Aguilar, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. That's six pass-catching threats that aren't even at the running backs yet.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, Corey Clement. That's nine weapons for
Boston
Carson
Scott,
Wentz.
Baby. Give him the man his respect.
All right, your boy Boston Scott. I'm not willing to go that far yet. But, I mean, like 9 to 10 guys.
Braxton Miller in the slot, too.
Yeah,
that's
Braxton
the word
Miller,
on the street.
Another player, too. I mean, Mac Hollins is still on the roster. They have so much.
It's going to be a hell of a training camp. The competition
really
is going to be through the roof.
And especially, too, then you flip the script and you go on the defensive side, too, with corner. This summer is going to be a competitive one at the NovaCare Complex. But once again, the Eagles select Miles Sanders and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in the second round. So for you fans out there that were clamoring for the weapons for the skill position players, head over to YouTube, start getting giddy about those highlights because there are some good ones when it comes to Sanders and Whiteside. We hope you enjoyed today's reaction podcast here on day two of the NFL draft. Me and Gino will be back again tomorrow. It's still going to be fun. I mean, day three, there's a lot of good players still left, especially with how the board's fallen that you know, too. And, you know, the Eagles have two more picks still, not as many as we'd hope for. Maybe they'll get back today. Maybe they'll come back in tomorrow. But Dillard, Sanders, Arcega-Whiteside. It's been offense, Palooza, and that's a big ticket item for the NFL draft. So, as always, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off for my co-host Gino Camilleri. Please subscribe to the show if you missed yesterday's live show, which was a whole lot of fun to do with Gino and Lars. We did some live reactions to the Dillard selection as well when they moved up. I cut that up and posted it on the feed, LockedOnEagles.com, or wherever you subscribe to the show. And also, I'm going to post it later tonight, too. Gino had some priceless reactions.
I can't wait to hear him. Specifically,
the ones I used, the Cleveland Farrell pick, the Daniel Jones pick, and the Dexter Lawrence. And then on top of that, of course, we threw in the whole reaction to the Eagle selection of Andre Dillard. So that's a priceless one, too, for Gino. So keep a lookout for that. We're going to have written content all week as well on LockedOnEagles.com. And, of course, the conversation goes on Twitter, at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. As always, for Gino Camilleri signing off, I'm Lou DiBiase. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds. Enjoy the rest of the draft, Eagles fans.
Fly, Eagles, fly.